This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Super Bowl weekend.
You're not watching. I will sample.
I might watch some, but.
Wait, you keep changing your mind on me.
No, I'm going to see some of it. Will I sit and watch the game start to finish? Absolutely not.
We're not. Okay.
Ooh, no, that won't happen.
All right. Fair enough.
Big weekend for basketball. You have talked all week about the test for the tops.
The top.
The guys who are on the road, Duke at Syracuse, Louisville at State, Florida State at Virginia Tech. And then
you think that'll be a sweep? You think the big three sweep their road games this weekend?
Yes,
you do.
I do. Okay. I think the glob is more interesting. I think there's
movement. There's always movement with the glob. That's the cool thing so far through the month of January with the glob.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you think you know somebody, you don't.
Right.
You think the Hokies are in good shape? Nah, we got some issues.
Right.
NC State's finally healthy, ready to roll? No, they're not. Syracuse is red hot, 1-5 in a row. Oops. That's the beauty of the glob.
Yeah.
And even the bottom, Wes, starts making movement. I mean, this is a whole – I mean, I don't even know how to describe the thing. I mean, it's just every time they play, it changes.
Right.
And that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some golden opportunities, though, for teams jumping on the big three this weekend at home.
Well, and you got Georgia Tech at Notre Dame tomorrow, which is globby.
Yeah, it's all globby.
BC Carolina, globby.
And North Carolina, can they continue their momentum? That's the deal. You know, there's been teams that have gotten hot. NC State got hot, cooled, right?
Sure.
Syracuse got hot. Maybe they still are. We'll find out tomorrow. North Carolina's finally won two in a row. Does that make it three heading into a humongous week next week?
Yeah, I think the other part, too, is you're getting some replays this weekend. You know, you got Clemson-Wake Forest, who just played about 10 days ago.
Right.
And
they played well. Clemson
tight game. Clemson came back one late.
Second half, right.
You've got the first of the only meeting of Duke-Syracuse this year, I think. You've got Miami-Pittsburgh. They meet second time. Remember, they played the Sunday before the national championship game. Miami won, I think, close to double figures down at Coral Gables. Now they rewind and play.
Now let's go. Let's start, though, with Duke Syracuse, because I think that's the one that's got some serious, serious juice.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure. What do I think about it?
Well, you already told me you think Duke's going to win the game.
I think the question for the game is pretty simple here. Vernon Carey had a great ball game the other night. Vernon Carey, Barama Sidibe, Marek Dolezal. How does that work for Duke, and how does that work for Syracuse? The zone in the past, because Duke is such a strong perimeter team, I mean, whether it's O'Connell, Hurt, Baker, take your pick. You know, Jordan Goldwire gives you every once in a while a three. Jones every once in a while a three. But here's the story. Out of the zone, how does Syracuse pick your poison? You're going to have to defend the line now. That line is going to have to be stood on somehow or another by the zone. And the real question is, what does that do inside Sidibe guarding Vernon Carey? You get Jesse Edwards off the bench a little bit when foul trouble occurred like it did the other night at Clemson. Transition's always something. And here's the other thing, too. I think Elijah Hughes or Buddy Boeheim have to have a monster game for Syracuse to win the game.
I think they both could.
They may have to. I mean, that's stuff like that right there is their best opportunity to stay. And by the way, that kid is tough. Holy cow, is he tough.
Rudd, by the way, made a shot in the Clemson game with about a buck 30 to go.
Standing in the paw?
From in the paw.
Yeah, in the paw.
When he let it go, you're like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Doink.
I watched the highlight and I went, that's the paw.
I mean, it was like, forget the line for the three. He was in the paw. I think this game's going to be out of sight. I do. I think Syracuse is playing with confidence.
Right.
I think they've got some offensive weapons that can light it up from beyond the arc. I think Duke will be absolutely energized in that environment. Kay, Boeheim. And, you know, the other thing, too, not to bring this to a downer. But the fact that Boeheim and Kay, their relationship with Kobe Bryant and what happened on Sunday.
Sure.
It's kind of a really unique situation. In fact, Coach Kay on his Basketball and Beyond show last night on Sirius XM was a tribute to Kobe Bryant. It's been a very emotional week for those two head coaches, given the relationship with Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And now Hey, they want to go beat each other. I mean, they're best of buds, but they want to go beat each other up, right? I mean, this game, like I told you, has as much fun in terms of a rivalry and what they have delivered in both venues.
Right.
With 30,000 at the Dome, I'm telling you that, I think that game is going to be out of sight.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. But I think it's about shot making.
No question. You got to make them.
Duke from the perimeter. If in fact they, kind of smother Carey inside. Because you said this the other day. Jones and Carey are going to be the fuse to light everything else up.
No question.
All year. That's not going to change.
That's what Duke does.
Yeah. Now, defensively, we know they're pretty good. I happen to think Syracuse is not bad defensively after seeing them live. Because Buddy Boeheim is at kind of the front of the zone. And, there's a part about Syracuse in this. If they make shots, I think they got a real chance.
Oh,
but
I know they do.
It's incumbent upon making shots. And the other thing is this, too. Can't have one of those slow, sleepy Saturday night starts if you're the Orange.
I don't think that's going to happen, Wes. I think Syracuse, and really, Macri, he's the perfect guy to talk to, but I'm not going to even bring him into the conversation.
No, because he's too emotional. He's too emotional.
Right, but that's why the place will be hopping. Yeah. Syracuse will get excited when Duke comes to town.
No question. And here's the other thing, too. You're going to laugh when I tell you this. Weather's not going to be bad. People will get there. It's not like the nor'easter's blowing in off the lake effect. I mean, they're getting ready to be able to get to the game, and it's a night game at the Dome. The place gets lit up. I've been in there when it's loaded up now, and it is solid.
Rocks. It'll rock.
Oh.
No question. All right, another game of note involving one of the big three on the road. Dangerous game. Danger, danger, danger. What's Durham? NC State.
Whew.
After an embarrassingly kind of flat performance against North Carolina at home on Monday.
Right.
They've had all week to hear people go, man, y'all aren't any good. You can't beat Roy. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. They've heard this all week. Here comes Louisville to Raleigh. And the Cards were out of sight the second half on the road at BC, made everything they looked at.
Right.
Jordan Moore is still scoring on Jim Christian's guys. But Saturday afternoon in Raleigh, a humongous game for the Wolfpack. They have one of those opportunity games with a team with a number beside it, kind of like what Virginia had this week with Florida State.
Right.
Hey, Wolfpack, you sitting there tired of being on the bubble? Up in the glob, down in the glob? Here is your chance. These are the kind of games that you got to win if you want nice things.
I don't disagree with that. I just have two stats about the same team that I'm going to share with you. Louisville is third in conference play in field goal percentage at 45%. All right? They are second in field goal percentage defense in conference play, holding opponents under 40%, Pack.
So you're telling me defense travels?
I'm telling you they travel. This is a group that has already won in Durham, and they showed me a lot the other night. They were very businesslike, I thought, at Chestnut Hill. Game was tight at halftime, and then in watching the second half, they just opened up a can in the second half.
They were great in the second half.
And I got to be honest, NC State shooting 41% from the floor in conference play. Opponents are shooting 44%. A lot of things about NC. You got to get good Markell Johnson. You got to get good DJ Funderburg.
CJ Bryce.
Well, you got to get him too.
Hello. Anybody home? CJ Bryce, 0-for at Georgia Tech, North Carolina. Hey, Wes, if he gives you an 0-for, it's an L. Just telling you.
Let me give you another stat. How many threes a game you think Louisville's averaging in league play?
That I don't know.
Just off the top. Just give me a
9.
Correct.
Well, I have been hot on guesses.
You ought to be laying money down some places.
No. I'll leave that to our leaders. C.J. Bryce has got to be present tomorrow afternoon. NC State is not going to beat good teams.
That's right.
If C.J. Bryce is a dude who can score, gives me zip.
Collaborative effort tomorrow, by the way.
That is such a big game for NC State.
Yep.
Big, big, big.
Wolfpack has to rebound the ball. They've got to get steady play. Braxton Beverly needs to hit shots tomorrow. The way you're going to beat Louisville tomorrow, if NC State – to beat Louisville has to hit. You got to get perimeter shots, and Markell has got to be good. You know why? because Louisville shoots it too good and defends it too well. You cannot miss your windows.
You know, normally when you have a team at home in a big game and they don't play well, they normally bounce back with a really good performance. Yep. I didn't think NC State played well at all. North Carolina gets a lot of credit for that Monday night. Mm-hmm. I expect NC State to play well tomorrow.
Yep. You know who else played well the other night? Clyde Trapp.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what?
Smoking.
We're going to get Clyde Trapp on this program. We're going to take the cameras to Tiger Town when we come back.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Let's go down to Clemson, South Carolina. Clyde Trapp's going to join us, and man, did he have a game the other night against Syracuse.
Brad Brownell called it his best game ever as a Tiger. And I said going to break, I think the young man here is a complete example of perseverance because, as we know, he tore an ACL back in the spring right prior to the trip that they took for the World University Games, and he's come back and taken the floor and made a difference in what the Tigers are doing. And Clyde Trapp joins us from Clemson, South Carolina. First of all, thanks for the time, and congratulations on the performance and the win the other night against the Orange.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
First of all, the hoodie's looking sharp, man. I don't even have one of those. Those are nice. That's the first thing.
Right here.
All right. I figured that was pretty fresh right off the back. Now, nobody else has their hands on that right there. I don't even think Dabo Swinney's got his hands on that thing right there.
He probably does.
You know what? You're probably right, Clyde. You know, you guys come off really an ugly December. You're probably hating to see January go bye-bye as you jump into February tomorrow at Wake Forest. But, man alive, you win in Chapel Hill. You beat Coach K. You beat Boeheim. January's been pretty sweet for the Tigers.
Yeah, sir, it's just a test of perseverance. Like, we started off 0-3, and now I think we finished 5-5 in the first half of the ACC. Just goes to show that we got a lot of gritty guys around us. The coaches do a great job of preparing us for every game, and our mindset as a team is we expect to win every game. So that's really just all it is. It's just we come into every game ready to compete at a high level.
Clyde, I want to talk about your perseverance, though. I mean, it's not easy, and Coach Brownell visited with us, and he and I talked when I was down there for the ball game against NC State early in the conference schedule about just your journey to want to get back to be on this team. I mean, I understand the physical rehab, but there had to be some mental rehab too along the way, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing, you know, to be able to come through all the stuff I've been through, especially with the leg. Just waking up every morning, you know, praying and attacking rehab, like that was my preseason. I didn't get to play in the non-conference schedule, so I just kind of used my rehab as like a season for me to try to get back and be ready for conference play.
So what's been the difference, though, for this team? Where did the confidence come from in January? What started?
I just think after the Christmas break, we all just went home, we refreshed, you know, we knocked the dust off, and I think when we came back, we all just had the same mindset of just, like, we still can do whatever we want with this season. If we want to be a great tournament team, then we can do that. So I think it's just a mindset that we have here, and this group of guys, everybody works, everybody's in the gym, and I think it just shows in our play. So
is it a gradual journey? Is it, you know, day to day, or has there been a flash point for you guys? I mean, certainly everybody can talk about the win against Duke or the win in Chapel Hill, but I get more and more kind of engaged in the fact that I think you guys are doing this day to day as much as you're doing just one thing, right?
Yeah, there's definitely day to day. Every lift, every practice, every individual, we want to get better. And no one day is bigger than another day. We take every day the same. We attack it with the right mindset, and we just try to keep knocking at wood. So,
is there an ownership of this team? I mean, there are not many older guys on this team. So you and Amir Sims obviously are juniors with experience, right? Are you guys taking the ownership of this basketball team maybe ahead of schedule a little bit?
Well, yeah, we definitely have. I think it's like 6-7 new guys. So me and Amir and John and Hunter are like really the only people that have been in Coach Brownell's program. So we kind of know how things are run and what he wants from us. So really that's what we kind of try to get the other guys to understand is how he wants things to be run and how we should attack every day. And we just try to set a great example of that.
All right, Clyde, tomorrow you go back to Tobacco Road. You're taking on Wake Forest. You just saw them about a week and a half ago, and that was a struggle, a game in really in which the last 10 minutes you guys caught fire to catch them and win the game. What do you expect from Wake Forest the second go-around?
Definitely a great team. Everybody can score. I think Brandon is playing tremendously right now, and we just got to come out and try to control, play how we want to play, and don't get into their game and just stay the course.
All right, you mentioned Brandon Childress. Take me through some of the guards in this league, because there's some really, really good league guards, and you've seen a lot of them so far. But a pair of zeros with you and Chill tomorrow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know Brandon from, you know, just playing. I definitely admire his game, and he's definitely one of the better point guards in the league. And, you know, every night we go up against great point guards, and me as being a point guard myself, I just try to control the game and just play.
I want to go back to some of these big ones. I know you're worried about Wake Forest tomorrow, and you should be. But as a Clemson alum, you know, I never thought I'd see the day that Clemson would win a basketball game, men's basketball game, in Chapel Hill. And we've seen the Brad Brunell clip going, it's over, and he's going nuts. That trip home had to be ridiculous, man. That had to be one for the ages.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. It was, you know, like I say, it was a blessing. I got to soak it in with, you know, my group of brothers that I call teammates. But it goes to show, like, our testament to, you know, our grit, which is our word here. And we just kept chipping away at that game. We knew we had our chance. And when that chance came, we just took full advantage of it, and we were able to win. So,
all right, now you beat Duke a couple days later, basically. What's it like walking around campus the next morning when people may be still down the dumps about the football team losing, but, man, you guys knocking off Duke and Coach K at home. What was that like on campus?
Oh, yeah, that was great as well. I think that was the first time in, 10 years that we beat Duke at home. So it was definitely history back-to-back, and I'm just glad I could be a part of it.
Hey, Clyde, when you guys are starting to build this season, it doesn't get off to a great start. And I go back to this conversation I was telling you earlier about with Coach Brownell, because he felt like that your injury, it kind of, you had to almost reconnect with this basketball team when they got back. Right. I mean, you weren't able to go on the trip. I mean, that's one of those things. I mean, you had to be looking forward to it. It happens right before you guys leave. So what was that reconnection like for you, and how difficult was that to kind of stay locked in and stay motivated to get better? You mentioned rehab being almost like your non-conference season, but I'm also curious about just relocking with your teammates.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough. I didn't get to experience Italy, like you said, so I didn't really get the memories that them guys, they built over there. But when we came back, I kind of was in practice, even though I couldn't really, you know, go up and down or anything. I was kind of in everybody's ear, and I wasn't like trying to be like isolated from the team, because I knew that the time would come where I come back and actually insert myself into the team. So when I came back, it kind of just everything just flown together. So it was definitely it was weird, but at the same time, everybody here, we like each other, and we genuinely want to see each other succeed. So when I came back to the team, it was just like I never left.
All right, so you developed that confidence with your team. I told Packer when it happened, I think Amir Sims' three to get the game in Chapel Hill to overtime might be the biggest shot in Clemson history. Do you think he was going to make it?
Oh, yeah. Total confidence. Total confidence in my guys, man. Not a doubt. Without a doubt.
All right, here's what I want to know, though. The guys go to Italy, all right, and I've been, and it's the most ridiculously awesome place on the planet. So they're over there eating fresh pasta. You're back home at the training table eating pasta. And again, I can speak for this, because when I was at school at Clemson, pasta tasted like shoelaces, all right? So it's not even fair that they were over there enjoying life and got the gold, and you're chilling out doing rehab. I can't think of a more unfair thing in life than that.
Yeah, I mean, but there's nothing I could do about it. God don't make mistakes, so I just knew that like my time would come, you know, to reconnect with the guys. So I was happy for the guys that they wanted to go. And I mean, I felt like I was there when they won. So like everything is just everything falls in place, and everything happens for a reason. So I didn't really think too much of it.
All right, you're right about that answer, by the way. All right, so here's the deal. Every student-athlete.
Every one of them, Clyde.
Who's ever been on this show, we ask the same version of this question. Clyde, what is the hardest class you've had at Clemson University?
Oh, I think psychology, man. It's tough. It's tough.
Didn't connect with psychology.
Or accounting or econ, something like that.
Oh, wait. Whoa, whoa.
Hey, I can help you out.
Econ was kind of tough for me.
Yeah.
But psychology was just all around tough.
Yeah, I got you on that. I can relate to the psychology thing because I was an econ major at Clemson. So if you need some help.
Yeah, but Clyde, when he was a major in econ at Clemson, it was a different kind of econ.
No.
It was abacuses and big books and everything else.
Micro macro, we got it all.
Did you?
We had it all.
Okay.
Got that new business school. You seen that new business school over there? It's strong, isn't it? It's nice.
Oh, yeah. I stayed in Douthat last year. It was right in front.
Yeah.
All that construction, I couldn't get no nap.
Listen, all for higher education, Clyde. Hell, it's all about higher education, my man.
Oh,
keep on rocking. We're proud of you.
And good luck tomorrow night, Clyde. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Thank you.
All right. Clyde Trapp joining us. Man, what a great story. What a great story. And a real, testament to the young man to, literally hurt just a couple days before they leave.
Can you imagine,
can't
though?
Go.
Your guys are over in Italy. You're sitting there flat on your back. Don't know what you're going to do in terms of playing. Your guys are over there wearing the gold medal, running the gold medal, eating all that pasta. Life is good in Italy.
Yeah.
You're stuck at the training table.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
The question of the day is gaining momentum. Are you ready?
I'm not surprised.
All right. If you had a chance to – Ed Reed's been named the chief of staff, by the way.
For the Canes football
program. For Miami's football program. Covers a lot of different areas and that kind of thing. So, Pac posed, who would you name as your chief of staff for your school and your program?
It doesn't have to be football either. It could be anything.
It could be anything. That's right. And we had one, Nolan Smith, for basketball at Duke, and Nolan's already on staff, and Christian Wilkins for football at Clemson, things like that. Couple of things have come in, couple of folks. Bill Meeks has said, Packer and Durham, at Packer and Durham. So he created our own Twitter feed right there. Look at that. We don't even have a Twitter feed for at Packer and Durham. I mean, he got it. I would choose Taj Boyd as the chief of staff for Clemson.
He'd be good.
Yeah. Taj's definitely a guy that's
he's versatile.
Yep.
Gregarious.
Absolutely. Yep. Got a lot going on in Greenville. Does a
smart
good job.
Smart business guy.
Yep.
Understands the game. Knows people. He'd be outstanding.
And thanks for creating the Twitter handle. Raise Up 1972 is next. He says my chief of staff would be Derek Brooks.
Ooh, I like it.
He's already on the board of trustees, isn't he?
Derek Brooks would be outstanding.
Yeah, that was a bad man now.
Oh, I love
that
watching him play.
That was a bad man wearing number 10.
How about while we're on that NFL slash Super Bowl slash big time prime time, how about prime time in that position?
Deion?
Yeah, I know he's interested in being a head football coach in college football in 2021, but what about Deion, chief of staff? No? You seem a bit hesitant.
I don't know
a
that.
A little apprehensive.
He's got a lot going on, man.
I know he does.
Prime Academy, we got a son playing football, we're doing NFL Network. And
you know who else would be great at that?
A lot of Deion.
Let me give you a class, all-time classy guy that would be great at that.
Okay.
Charlie Ward.
Oh, yeah. Now that he's coaching high school ball, I think, at Thomasville.
He is such a great guy.
Or Tallahassee, maybe. It's one of those areas.
He's tremendous. There's a bunch you can pick from the Noles.
By the way, here's Will Conlon at W. Conlon. Totally different. At West Durham, you got to get Pat Popolizio on Packer and Durham. I also have you a ticket to Pack Wrestle versus UNC next Friday night. You're missing out on not catching some action. Well, I'm going to be in Clemson, South Carolina next Friday.
I'm going to be there for Friday night duels. You know where I'll be next Friday night?
Where's that?
Right there. 6 feet away from where we're sitting down.
Doing Sirius XM.
Yeah.
84 off campus with Mark Packer.
Right.
4 to 7 every
day.
Friday. Yeah.
I'd love to be there though. That would be great.
Yeah.
I'd be there tonight if I was in Chapel Hill.
I might be.
Yeah.
Lumberjacks have said.
Which elbows? Seriously, who are you having dinner with tonight?
Jordan Cornette and our producer.
Look me right in the eye. And who else is going to join?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
And you're not going to the wrestling?
I didn't say I wasn't. Just said I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it. I also got to go see my mom. Come on, man. Got to check in with Miss Jean now.
I don't even understand what the problem is.
I may get
your, how big's your car? Is the same one you yeah, got right parked there. Out in your parking spot in my driveway?
Yes, yeah.
She'll fit in that.
Miss Jean, no, she's not going to the wrestling.
Why not?
No. Miss Jean's not able to go.
You're not speaking for her.
I am speaking for her tonight.
Miss Jean just had surgery.
And having some rehab doing it.
Which means you'll have a great seat because you can put it right up front. Miss Jean, I'll take care of you. Your son.
You're not going to be there, Pac.
If it were me, I just said, if it were me and I was in Chapel Hill, I'd be at the wrestling match tonight. You're unbelievable. You wouldn't even take your mother to a wrestling match? What kind of son are you? Woody is looking down at you right now going, boy, I did a lousy job with him. Miss Jean just had surgery.
Yes.
North Carolina against Duke.
Yes, I know it is.
Your mom has lived through more North Carolina Duke games of all time, and now you got a chance to take her to the wrestling match. Might even get some TV time. Raccoon Valley and The Rock.
I'll check with the doctor.
Oh, don't talk. No, please. The doctor would not have let her out of the hospital if she wasn't going to be all right. You need to go to the match. If you come walking through these doors on Monday and you no-showed, I'm going to be very disappointed in you. Just telling you. Miss Jean, I know.
She listens to the podcast every day.
Well, she's not going to be listening to this. She probably just clicked us off. She's so disappointed. What's wrong with you? It's your mother.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know. It's my mom. Bless her heart. It's getting better, though. It's good. All right. Now, earlier in the week, we put a question out to you. What's your school's identity? Apparently, we set the internet on fire at some of these places.
It seems like that was 3 weeks ago we did that.
I know. And it's still going. Yesterday, we had a couple different websites take our topic and pose it back to the fan base.
Well, all right. So what'd you come up with?
Well, one is at Syracuse when we, suggested that they might be a cross country school. Kevin Wall writes for the SB Nation site at Syracuse that Syracuse is a cross country school.
Well, they've had great success in the league since joining it.
That's it.
But that's, you can go wherever you want with this, right?
I agree.
We kind of said there's no guidelines other than.
Right.
This is a big picture question.
Correct. But
now Syracuse in the ACC has been out of sight.
The facts are clear, Packer and Durham. Syracuse is a cross-country school. So there you go.
Well, if your snapshots since you've joined the league, you're probably right. They've had more success in that sport than any other sport.
Right.
But this is an overall deal.
I know.
Deal.
I got you.
Would you put cross-country in that conversation? I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't. But they're saying the Orange joined in 2013, 6 ACC titles in cross country.
Like I said, they've had great success in the league.
There you go. And a 2017 individual champion in Justin Knight.
I don't know Justin Knight.
But that's what we're saying.
Okay.
So then it went down to at Joe Hoovius. Not Joe Ovius, Joe Hoovius.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
In certain parts of the country, it could be the same person.
It could be. UVA soccer, great program. UVA lacrosse, great program. UVA baseball, great program. Tennis. But the UVA sports identity is defined by one word and one word alone. Pack line.
It's not a sport. Joe Hoovius.
Yeah, it's.
Pack line is not a sport.
Yeah.
I like the t-shirt though, by the way, we got from Charlottesville, the pack line.
I got you a pack line.
Got that thing. But no, that's a double.
All right. How about Bo and Ty Dog, who got involved in this from a Virginia Tech perspective? School identity by sport, titles aside, when people term a season as substandard, that's a strong indicator. FSU's great in basketball, but the disappointment in football is more telling who they are. You are spot on. Okay. Josh Lusk is next.
How many of these do we have? Can I go walk the dogs?
We need to engage with the people paying attention to the show.
All right.
Josh Lusk, Hit us up here. FSU and Clemson are football. Georgia Tech, still on Georgia Tech. Huh? Differential equations. All others are basketball. He's saying Florida State and Clemson are football and everybody else is something else.
I disagree with that entirely.
All right. Jim White, this is our last.
Well, first of all, before we get to the 900th tweet, did you agree or disagree with the last gentleman?
I think it's a variety.
Florida State and Clemson are football and everybody else is hoops? I don't agree.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that's all I asked.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. Jim White is the last one. Here's Jim. You ask the casual person on the street that will usually recognize schools by the big three, football, basketball, baseball. I think a more interesting question is, what's your school's sports identity excluding those three sports? Now
that's a good question. That one I like. That's a good question.
Right.
So would you tech? Golf.
Oh, yeah.
Clemson? Golf. Larry Penley, my partner. Wake Forest, golf.
Yeah, Wake golf, absolutely. What would you do at NC State beyond those big three?
Wrestling.
What about Carolina? Women's soccer?
Yes.
Okay.
No doubt.
Virginia?
Lacrosse?
Just checking.
Or soccer. You could go soccer.
Syracuse?
Oh, obviously.
Lacrosse?
No, cross country. Come on. You just read a whole paragraph from...
Yeah, but the cross-country success to what you said is, what, 7 years, 6 years old.
You just asked me a question.
I don't know.
I learned something that Syracuse has dominated cross-country. How dare we not bring that up? Pittsburgh. It's hard.
Volleyball.
That's a good one.
Coach Fisher. First guest on this show.
Not the first.
Well, one of the first guests.
The first guest was Commissioner Swofford.
That's it. Yeah.
Being interrupted by Fuller.
Yeah, it was. Quite a statement by the big
What about player. Miami? Baseball. That counts, though, right?
Yeah, that's one of the three. I don't know. That's a good question.
I know what it's not. It's not beach volleyball.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again.
We've been preaching about that one.
Yeah.
We are here. For the Canes. When they decide to do that, we are going to be first in line to help out.
That's it.
We are here to help.
We're going to do that one on TV too, right?
Absolutely. I think we should be live at every match. Why would we not be at South Beach for every beach volleyball match involving the U? When all of a sudden they decide, hey, we're going to add that sport, we will be the number one supporters.
Isn't that a little close to the ocean for you?
I didn't say I'm getting in the ocean. I said we'll be on the beach, which is where I normally would be if forced to go.
You know how much you like going to the beach, too, by the way.
That beach is different. You know why?
What's different about that beach, Mark?
That beach is a flip wedge away from the Clevelander.
I've seen the Clevelander this week.
Me too. The News Cafe is a flip wedge from the beach.
Yeah.
That's why that beach is different than everybody else's beach.
Okay.
You agree with that?
Oh, yes.
You better believe you agree with that. I've never been a bigger fan of Art Deco in my life than I go down there now.
In fact, I think there's a huge setup by our company down at the Clevelander this week.
There's no
doubt. I think they bought the joint out, in fact.
There's always something going on there. Steve Harvey was with the boys there yesterday.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
While we talk about a big basketball weekend, big night last night for the ladies, guys take over tomorrow. It's also lacrosse season this weekend.
Yeah, it is.
It's underway. The league is going to be loaded as usual, not to mention the defender in the University of Virginia.
Yeah, we got two of the opening day matches, if you will, here on ACC Network coming up on Saturday, tomorrow afternoon. And one of our guys on the lacrosse beat is Anish Shroff, who, by the way, gets bonus points on this show, number one, because I know he's just back from the mousetrap down in Orlando. And he's also sporting a Quebec Nordiques hat today, Pac, which also gets you points.
And he's sporting about a four-day growth.
Yeah.
Looks good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. The Disney trip was an adventure, and the Nordique said, I saw it, and I said, I have to.
Yeah. Why not?
Of course. You got to. Everybody's got to have a Nordiques hat.
Yeah.
Everybody. All right, listen. We're in the middle of hoop season, which is crazy, but it's also the start of lacrosse season. And listen, this league has always been deep and loaded and good, and it just seems, Anish, that, you know what, this upcoming season is just more of the same.
Five teams comprise ACC lacrosse: Syracuse, Duke, Carolina, Notre Dame, and Virginia. I've got all five in my preseason top 10. And you know, the team that finishes last, this is as good as this league has been in 2 years. It's actually been down the last couple of years. A lot of talent. And guys, think of the coaches here. Four or five coaches in this league have won a championship, and seven of the last 12 national titles have been won by a head coach currently in the ACC.
Hmm. Ooh. So if Virginia's the defending champion, they are a preseason favorite. I think Penn State's up there as well. But the Cavaliers, I mean, it just seems to kind of keep moving along here. There doesn't seem to be a lot of, you know, desperation or fear of guys not coming back and even guys that may have moved on. I mean, Lars Tiffany's got such a great program, Anish, and it seems it's got staying power now.
It does, and Virginia's one of the blue bloods. This is a traditional power. They were down when Lars Tiffany took over. Mm. And what's really impressed me about Lars, spending some time with him, he reminds me in some ways of Dabo Sweeney, in that culture, culture, culture were all you heard the first two seasons, and they really wanted to put that in place. They had the talent, and they've recruited incredibly well as anybody the last few years. So they're loaded with talent, but really, it was the culture that got this team to a championship. They were not a championship team at the outset of last season. They became one. They had a face-off guy who really emerged in the middle of the season, a freshman defenseman who was a deer in headlights early and then played like a first-team All-American. And, you know, what I've always really respected and enjoyed being around Lars, he's the kind of guy, there's self-doubt. Hey, are we doing the right way? He's always tinkering. What can we do better? Just because everybody else in the sport is going left, hey, why should we go left? Maybe we should go right. There could be something there. There's kind of this mad scientist element to him. And, you know, now he's recruiting elite talent. Virginia, to me, is the best job in all of college lacrosse. So, you know, you're getting elite talent. You're getting a guy that understands culture. It was a little surprising that they won a championship as quickly as they did. But staying power, yeah, absolutely. I look at this season and I see Virginia and I see Penn State. That to me is the LSU and Clemson of college lacrosse. The super teams, everybody's chasing those two.
Anish, we had a question this week about the school identification, and we got to Syracuse, and it was interesting. You think hoops, you know, you think lacrosse. We have people up there saying, no, it's all about cross country, but lacrosse is legit, but it's been a while for the Cuse and the Orange. How about expectations this year? Can Syracuse get back in the limelight and be center stage?
Yeah, they better. I think there's actually a little bit of pressure on that coaching staff to get the championship weekend. This is a program in its heyday. They went to 22 consecutive national semifinals.
Whew.
And last decade, they've only been to one. So when you look at the history of the program and you only go to one championship in the last decade, they haven't won a title since 2009. I mean, it's kind of like the Yankees. It's like, wait, what happened? I mean, the sky is falling. Even though, you know, they've been a number one seed. They've been in the NCAA tournament. They've been to quarterfinals. This is a program defined by getting to Final Fours and winning championships. This year, they have an absolutely loaded roster. Their best player from 2 years ago, Tucker Dordovic, he returns. He was injured all of last year. They got a transfer from Loyola by the name of Chase Scanlon. He was the highest scoring midfielder in the country as a freshman last year. Originally had committed to Syracuse. They have all the pieces in the middle of the field on defense and in goal. I would be very disappointed if Syracuse does not end up in the semifinals this year.
Hey, Anish, I want to follow up on two things. One about Syracuse. Take me through what's going to happen when they got all their home games before kind of they close the dome, if you will, right? I mean, they're kind of front-loading all the home matches. Is that right?
Yeah, because the Dome will then undergo construction. And I believe their first game, their first home game, not at the Carrier Dome, is against Notre Dame in late March. And so they're going to play at Cicero North Syracuse High School. Now, what's unique about that, I did a game there last year when they played Duke because the Dome was reserved for the NCAA Women's Tournament. And it was unbelievable. Like, as cool as the Dome is for lacrosse, they get a big crowd. They get 5,000, 8,000 people, which is a big crowd in lacrosse. But in a 50,000-seat stadium, there's a lot of gray seats. Well, they had standing room only outside at Cicero North Syracuse High School. I actually think it may end up being a significant home field advantage for them to be playing at this high school because lacrosse is so big in that community, and people are going to want to pack that place. It's going to be an in-demand ticket. Now, it may be cold. That is the one downside.
All right. I want to
feel like February. That is a problem.
Okay. Second part I want to get to is Chris Cotter was with us yesterday, and he talked about how we've become all too familiar with grad transfers in football and basketball. And he mentioned grad transfers in lacrosse. Are we really going to go down that road in this sport where they're going to be major guys of impact that are going to spend 1 year maybe moving up, if you will, to play and make a contribution for a program?
I think you will see that. I mean, transfers are pretty common in the sport, but the really cool one was Pat Spencer. So Pat Spencer played at Loyola last year. He won the Tewarton Award, which is the Heisman of lacrosse. As a grad transfer, he went to Northwestern. He's playing basketball in the Big Ten. And he's not riding the bench. He's starting. I think he's averaging double figures in points. And he started almost every game for Northwestern. I'd like to see grad transfers of that ilk in lacrosse because I think it tells a lot of casual fans, hey, these are athletes. And a lot of these guys could have played other sports. And you're kind of seeing it with Pat Spencer. But the grad transfer thing in lacrosse, you're starting to see more of it. And certainly transfers has certainly become a big part in lacrosse. Teams are kind of using that as free agency. There's a really good one you'll see at North Carolina this year. Chris Gray came over from Boston University, one of the highest scorers in the country last year.
All right. Thanks, as always, for the time. Look forward to following you and Cotter and our great coverage of lacrosse here on ACC Network. And, of course, it is opening day tomorrow in the ACC for lacrosse. And you'll get two matches, one at noon, Colgate at North Carolina, and then at 2 o'clock, Air Force visits Duke. And thanks to Anish Shroff for spending time with us on the program today. And we got a busy power hour coming up, big fella.
No doubt. Lots of guests and more craziness on top of it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.